You're listening to Pastor Stephen G. Lightfoot's podcast, Sermons and Homilies by the Reverend Stephen G. Lightfoot. Pastor Stephen is an ordained elder in the Global Methodist Church and serves as senior pastor to First Methodist Church Splendora and Shepherd Methodist Church in Southeast Texas. Here is today's episode. So this morning, I thought seriously about preaching from the gospel, but the past couple of times that this scripture has come up, I've always preached about the Syrophoenician woman because I'm so drawn to the story. But this morning, I thought I would continue in our series on James because there's some practical things that James gives us in the scripture this morning, James chapter 2, verses 1 through 17. It talks about something I think that's very topical, especially since we're in an election year. We tend to be distracted by the divisions that are inherent in the culture. And so I thought we would counteract those divisions with a call to loving our neighbor as ourselves. I know it's hard to do sometimes, isn't it, out there in the world? Let's face it, some folks are just downright hard to love. If you're not sure who those people are, maybe it's you. But James has some good things to say. He's talking about the sin of partiality. Did you know that being partial when it comes to people is a sin? According to our Savior Jesus, it most definitely is. And so James has something to say about it. Listen to what he writes. My brethren, do not hold your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ with an attitude of personal favoritism. For if a man comes into your assembly with a gold ring and dressed in fine clothes, and there also comes in a poor man in dirty clothes, and you pay special attention to the one who is wearing the fine clothes and say, you sit here in a good place, and you say to the poor man, you stand over there or sit down by my footstool, have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil motives? Listen, my beloved brethren, did not God choose the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Is it not the rich who oppress you and personally drag you into court? Do they not blaspheme the fair name by which you have been called? See, James gives us here in these first seven verses the fact that God shows no partiality, and so neither should we. Our faith in Jesus Christ as Lord cannot be combined with partiality. The two are incompatible. James tells us here, he gives us an example of how even the church can slide into the sin of partiality. Say it isn't so, Pastor. But it is so, because why? The church is made up of human beings, and human beings are fallible. Daily we fall short of the glory of God. So even the church, yes, the church, can slide into the sin of partiality when we show favor to some over others based on some superficial worldly construct such as wealth or influence. I mean, do we see that behavior in the church today? Not necessarily this church, but in all churches. Are people in churches showing partiality to some people over others based on things like their ability to give large sums of money, their financial status, or maybe their contributions in other ways to the church body, or maybe their influence out there in the community? As we examine ourselves and our attitudes toward people in and out of the church, Are we guilty of the sin of partiality? It's a good question for us to consider this morning. So James continues in verse 8, if, however, you are fulfilling the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point has become guilty of the whole law. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not commit murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but do commit murder, you have become a transgressor of the entire law. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment will be merciless to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. See, James reminds us here that the person who favors one person or group over another has failed to love his neighbor and is therefore a lawbreaker. For to break a part of the law is to break the whole law, and that person will be judged by, held accountable to the very law. And it won't be the world that judges. It will be Christ himself who is the judge. I know this is kind of heavy for a bright and sunny Sunday morning, right? But it's good that we understand the whole gospel, not just the parts that make us feel good. Why? Well, James tells us, beginning at verse 14. What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but has no good works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, and yet you don't give them what is necessary for their body, what good have you done? What use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead being by itself. See, for James, there's no such thing as a true and living faith that does not produce good works. That's talking the talk, but not walking the walk. Or my favorite illustration, that means you're all hat and no cap. Or my new favorite, you got spurs, but there's no jingle jangle. See, for James, there's no such thing as a true and living faith that doesn't produce good works. For the only true faith is a faith that works through love. That's Galatians 5:6. Works are not an added extra any more than breath is an added extra to a living body. The so-called faith which fails to produce good works of charity, it's just another word for love, is simply not a saving faith. You can do all kinds of churchy things in the name of personal human glory. It does not make you the church. It makes you a community center. Proverbs 22. A good name is to be more desired than great wealth. Favor is better than silver and gold. The rich and the poor have a common bond. The Lord is the maker of them all. He who sows iniquity will reap vanity, and the rod of his fury will perish. He who is generous will be blessed, for he gives some of his food to the poor. Do not rob the poor because he is poor, or crush the afflicted at the gate, for the Lord will plead their case and take the life of those who rob them. See, Proverbs is telling us that faith without works is nothing. If we take advantage of people just because we have some sort of worldly power over them, then you might gain something in the world, but in the long run, you'll receive judgment from the true judge, Jesus Christ, in heaven. So the bottom line from James for us this morning is that our faith can be tested for its validity in how we treat and respond to people in and out of the church. We can gauge the strength and the truth of our faith based on how we treat those who are different from us in some superficial way. God shows no partiality. As the scripture says, the rain falls on the just and the unjust, just the same. So as the church, the body of Christ in motion in the world, we should show no partiality either. Because we're called to extend the offer of grace and mercy to everyone, to whosoever will listen to the saving message of the gospel. I like that word. Everybody say to your neighbor, whosoever. You're a whosoever, I'm a whosoever, and everybody out there beyond those glass doors is a whosoever. And all the whosoevers in the world, regardless of their place or their station, need a Savior. So we're called to extend the offer of grace and mercy to everyone, to whosoever will listen to the saving message of the gospel. You see, if we make a decision not to share the love of Christ with someone based on our biases, on our prejudice, on our dislike or disdain for someone else based on all those superficial constructs that mean nothing in the grand scheme of the kingdom of God, then we should take pause and reflect on the validity of our faith. We have to ask ourselves, am I guilty of the sin of partiality? And while we're at it, we can ask ourselves, am I practicing a true faith? Is my faith a saving faith, or is it something much, much less? And my prayer this morning is that God give us all the strength, the internal fortitude, to make an honest assessment of the content of our hearts. And so I offer a prayer. If you'll pray with me. Heavenly Father, impartial God, help me to realize this morning that we are all people in need of the Savior. Help me, O God, to know that all people, regardless of their place or station in the world, are sinners in need of Jesus for salvation. We need Him for reconciliation back to You, O Father God. And so this morning, God, help me to see all people through Your eyes. Help me to have compassion on strangers. Help me to have compassion on people. Help me to show mercy to them. Help me to extend grace to them and the love of Christ to them in the same way that Christ loves me. Help me to love my neighbor as myself. Help me, Father, to love people in the same way that You extend Your mercy, grace, and compassion to me. And I ask this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Come back again next week for a new message. And until then, may God bless you and keep you.